Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon dito sa studio mula sa Pilipinas, si Elizabeth Hermosura ng Disrupt IT at nagbabalik sa ikalawang pagkakataon. Magandang araw!
Magandang araw!
So, ang Disrupt is an Australian company but you decided to relocate to the Philippines dahil nung COVID, correct?
Disrupt IT is an Australian company and our engineers are all in the Philippines. So, born in the Philippines and I moved to Australia when I was 5 years old. So, raised here and I didn't go back to the Philippines until I was 22 years of age.
You mentioned earlier, pumunta ka sa Australia 5 years old. Mm-hmm. Dito ka lumaki, dito ka nag-aral. Dito mo tinayo yung Disrupt.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide that, yes, working in IT, but I want to be my own boss?
I've been in the corporate world for a very long time. And, you know, it's a little bit more personal for me. So I had a baby when I was 21 years old. And things didn't work out with my partner. So I was kind of a single mom raising her. So I was dropping off at daycare, going to work 9 to 5, picking up from daycare, going back home, cooking, cleaning, getting ready for the next day and all that kind of stuff.
And spending all your money on daycare.
Exactly. And so that was me growing up. And then, you know, I never had the opportunity to be, I never had the luxury, I should say, to be a stay-at-home mom and enjoy the early stage. So when, in my career, I had traveled the world. I felt I had achieved everything I needed to achieve. And I was like, I had a one-year-old. I had found that I was pregnant again. And I just said, you know what? I want to be a mom. So had some money saved up and started up the company and took the risk.
What was it like being a young woman? A young mom, a single mom, starting a company in a male-dominated industry.
You know, one of the things about working in a company is there's always political aspects to it. There's bureaucracy, and you have to have the thick skin, I guess, to just overcome all of that. Right? IT is known to be a very male-dominant industry. Cybersecurity, even more so.
Yes.
In a leadership position, up that by 100%, right? And
and in your early 20s, what do people say? Oh, what do you know?
Exactly.
Did you get that?
I got the looks, yeah? So that's the reality of it. I don't want to bag it because it made me resilient and it made me who I am today. And I learned a lot from that. It made me tougher, right? And as much as you look at people like mentors to learn things, I also learned a lot of what not to do. And that was always important to me. So I'm like, okay, well, I know I shouldn't be doing that because I know how it feels when that happens. So I took a lot of those learnings, right? And, you know, not to say that there were men in the leadership positions that, you know, were mentors for me. So, you know, I did have some support, which was great. And there were areas where I didn't have any support. But also females tend to be competitive, right? So there was some of that as well. So it's not limited to just the male versus female kind of thing. It's I think it's about people and their insecurities in general. But because I was in a very male-dominant industry, I did come across a lot of that with the males.
And how did you juggle motherhood?
So Andrew is my partner and he's the CEO of the company. So he and I, for about 5 years, ran the company alone. Not alone, I'm saying in terms of
just the two of you.
Just the two of us. Like we were the owners, we were the recruiters, we were the
secretaries, PAs.
Secretaries. We, you know, we made it work and it's been amazing. Like people look at us going, how come you guys haven't killed each other yet? And, you know, in the very early days, it was feed the baby and then, you know, do our meetings in between, go feed the baby.
So you were working from home when work from home wasn't
correct.
Popular.
From the very beginning, we had always been work from home. Even with our people in the Philippines, it had always been work from home. That was driven by not limiting ourselves to only being able to hire in Manila. We could hire in Cebu, we could hire in Davao, we could hire in Dumaguete. Like, it just didn't limit us to the vast. Like I said, Philippines has such an enormous group of people that are so knowledgeable and so passionate about what they do. So I didn't want to limit us to that. So we're in IT. All you need is a laptop and internet connection, right?
And so, you were doing it way before WebEx or way before Teams meeting.
Yes, before Zoom and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, phone calls. You know, we'd meet people in person back then, and we'd travel when we needed to. But you know, Andrew and I juggled that. We knew the kids' schedules. We, you know, after the kids are in bed, it was 3 hours. We were 3 hours ahead of the Philippines, so we still had 3 hours to start interviewing people for the business, right? So we did a lot of that, and it was to our advantage that Philippines was 3 hours behind back then, and we just made it work. And then when we needed to, we hired a CFO 2 years ago. Yeah. I was doing the invoicing and the billing back then. So that's what I mean. Like, we were very resilient. Like, we kind of, not that we were control freaks. It was just, you know, we would rather hire people that we could give opportunities to in the Philippines rather than having to hire in Australia to do the things that we needed to do. So we hire people when we need to, like you, my brother Marco. So again, he came into the business 2 years ago when we moved to the Philippines. We needed someone to take care of Australia and New Zealand for us on the ground. People like to meet each other face to face. So, you know, I begged my brother to join the business, making sure that there's no...
You're the ate?
No, he's my kuya.
Oh, how hard is that?
I was like, please, can you come and work in the business? And he's like, okay. So it took me 6 months to convince him. You know how they say don't mix money with family? It's kind of same thing, right? Don't mix business with family. So we want to make sure that it was the right thing for him and his family to do. And he accepted. So, you know, we brought him in to help Andrew with the sales side of the business.
Going to Manila... Mm-hmm. You know, uprooting your life and, you know, rebuilding again in Manila. Not your business, but your life. Mm. And you go face to face with people. Pinoys.
Yeah.
By nature and by culture, Filipino men are very, when it comes to the work front,
yeah,
they're very dominant.
Yes.
And I am assuming you've gained respect because they deal with you, right? If they didn't respect you, they wouldn't do business with you.
Yeah.
How did you gain their respect? How did you become aggressive in a Pinay way? You know, because being a Filipina, growing up in the Philippines, I know there's certain things that you're not supposed to do when you do business with men. So how did you gain their respect?
You gain respect by knowing what you're talking about. So I don't ever just approach anyone without a purpose. I don't like wasting people's time. I'm very respectful of that. And, you know, I hate being late. I hate doing all that. So I am very respectful of people's time. So, you know, I love meeting people. There's different walks of life. Even if there's no business to be done, where did they grow up? What did they do? How did they get to where they're from? I'm naturally intrigued by people's lives and, you know, what it is that drives them. So what do they do what they do? And I love learning about that. And I don't ever, someone once told me, remove the title and they're just a human, right? So that always plays in my head. It's like, oh, I want to meet this person. I look them up on LinkedIn to see what they've done. And, you know, it's just having a conversation with them. It's never about me having a... motivation or
so you didn't come
like
to them as ako si Elizabeth CEO ako.
No, so no one ever knows what I do or who I am in the business.
They would probably think you are the public relations person.
I am actually. So you know what's interesting about our organization? I interview everyone that joins us. Every role that's been filled, every person that's in our organization now is always interviewed by me. And I love that because it breaks down the hierarchy that exists in the Philippines, right? There's a lot of, I find a lot of that they're not empowered to speak to anyone above their team leader, right? So, you know, I speak to them, I ask them what interested them in the role, blah, blah. And then I introduce who I am right at the end. Like, they never know who they're talking to so that they can speak freely and, you know,
so
I
that's
ask them
the
things.
Australian in you bringing yeah. it to the Philippines, correct?
Yeah. But I love it. Like, you know, we've got a company chat. Everyone can just, you know, talk to us whenever they want. They've got my phone number. They've got my email address. It doesn't matter who I am. Like, that's just a title, right? Yes, I own the business. I run it. But, you know, They are the ones that make me successful. Without them, I won't exist, right? So we all play a part in the business. We just all have different purposes. So
how did you deal with difficult people? You know, there's sometimes when you do business, like, I don't want to talk to her. I want to talk to the head of the group because you don't introduce yourself. So how do you deal with that?
Or how do you try to make it as pleasant for them as possible. So I do come across that, and I'm like, I say, oh, okay, well, here's my business card. And then that has my title on it. And they're like, okay, without having to embarrass them publicly. So I, like I said, I am a very respectful person, and rather than shoving it in their face going, well, yeah, I am the owner, I just subtly say, hey, here's my business card. And if you want to discuss it further, let me know.
And you're expanding.
Yes, we are. So we, where do we exist? We opened India last year. We just registered our business in London about 4 weeks ago. And then we'll be opening up in Singapore as well in probably next month. So the business is expanding. Our customer base is expanding a lot in the UK and EMEA and the US. Time zone-wise, it just makes sense to be based in London. So we'll do that for a couple of years. So we are now going to be splitting our time across three time zones, you know, traveling between UK, Philippines and Australia. So, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting couple of months.
A company that was built by two people.
Yes.
Is now in three continents.
It's amazing, right? So, you know, I tell my daughter, my 20-year-old daughter, it's you can achieve anything that you want to. You just need to know what you want to do, right? And even with this business, Disrupt IT has become this amazing company. And, you know, the heart of it is that we're trying to help people, whether it's a business, whether it's our employees, whether it's, you know, our suppliers. I always go local. You know, there's all these things that we're trying to do to make a positive impact. And, you know, that's something that we strive for. In the coming years, hopefully in 5 years, we'll open up a sister organization that will be fully dedicated to helping charities in the future. So right now, a percentage of our profits every month does go to support a an organization already in the Philippines, which you know, Bahay Tulian. So, you know, that is something that's very close to my heart. The future generation is what we need to rely on because they are the ones that's going to make the decisions for us when we're old, right? So, you know, the politicians, the education and all these kind of things that exist now is people run by our generation. Come 10 years, it's the next generation that's going to be doing that. They're going to be making the decisions. So we need to make sure that they are equipped to make the right decisions for the people. So
when I first met you, I was always wondering, why disrupt? Now I understand. Maraming salamat, Elizabeth Hermosura.
Thank you very much.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment. Sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something. And to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.